I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news read by Mercy Sowa
and Eugenia Sumedusechi.
In the headlines, NHIA commences biometric registration on pilot basis. President Mahama back home after attending G8 summit in London. 66-year-old woman Mary Jabia makes history as oldest BEC candidate. And Brazilians protest against cost of staging 2014 World Cup. The National Health Insurance Authority, NHIA, has commenced a pilot project to register new subscribers onto the NHIA's biometrically. The exercise, which began yesterday, is expected to last for a month and will also cover membership renewals. The pilot exercise is being undertaken in Ayawaso and La districts in the Greater Accra region and is limited to a selected number of personnel from the Ghana Police Service and Ghana Armed Forces. The biometric exercise comes with instant issuance of NHIA's ID cards. It is expected that a successful pilot will be followed by a nationwide scale-up of the exercise. Health service providers for this exercise are the 37 military and police hospitals in Accra. The objectives for implementing the biometric solution are to issue instant membership identity cards, leading to improved card management, clean the membership database by using a biometric solution as a means of preventing duplicate records, and implement an effective verification system at the point of healthcare service delivery. The NHIA seeks the cooperation of all to make this exercise a success.
Residents of Tetegu and its environs in the Kasauth municipality who were warned to evacuate are still there 3 days after the Ghana Urban Water Company opened the Wager Dam to spill excess water. The municipal chief executive, Jerry Akwade Thompson, who visited the area, said he's hopeful residents will comply with the warning to prevent any eventuality. Irapna Paha has more.
Mr. Akwade Thompson said enough education had gone into informing the affected communities of the possible flooding if the dam gates are opened. He said the residents have not felt the impact of the spillage because only one of the gates opened on Saturday.
We finally agreed that at least only one spillway should be open. And even that one, it is only 5 inches, that one. And so far, it's gone on well. The communities that are likely to be affected, we have not even noticed that they've opened the spillway. Even there's also any sign that even the water is coming from the spillway. So we believe if we continue that way, the effect will not be all that serious. The way they are going about it, I don't think there is going to be any serious destruction of properties. I don't think. It is when they are taking unawares that such a thing can happen. But they are aware. They are always watching what is happening. And we have already informed residents along those affected areas to relocate. So they must be on their guard. Any time the situation changes, then they should find a way of helping themselves. You know, people are thinking about compensation. I don't see where the compensation comes in. Because by law, before you undertake any development, the first point of call should be the assembly. You must see the assembly, obtain building permit. Now, all those areas, the question is, do they have building permit?
I'm saying enough education hasn't gone on to these people at this time, no. During periods like this.
You see, is that the first time that the water company is opening the stone way. This is the first time. Go to Tete Ogunwere and ask them. They will tell you they are fishermen and they know it. They live with it.
The operations manager at the Weja Dam of the Ghana Urban Water Company, Paul Ganda, said the excess water was spilled because the dam exceeded its level of 47 feet to 48 on Friday, hence the spillage on Saturday.
I got both for two purposes. One for the irrigation department to extract 45% of the water in the river. For irrigation purpose, you know, should have to after the food just on the left, and they extract the raw water and from the city reservoir where they supply them. And Ghana Water was put up to check, we have reached a maximum of the 35%. So it means we cannot go beyond unless you have a much. But for some time now, the after the irrigation has been suspended, you know, people are taking over the land that goes to the farm land. So for now, maybe tell you what you can use the free water for. So you plant down there, and down there, down to Ghana, the people are built all over. So we no longer have it.
At the time of the visit, residents were going about their normal duties regardless of the possible damage they were exposed to.
Arabna Paha reporting.
The Enterprise Opportunity Forum Ghana, a group of graduates, called for the intervention of the National Service Board to enable the National Service Secretariat to deduct 20 Ghana cedis per month from the allowances of members to the graduate fund it has established. The appeal follows the Secretariat's rejection of a resolution by personnel for deductions to the fund. In an interview with Radio Ghana, the Executive Director of the Forum, Malcolm Selassie Asamoah, said the group will resort to hunger strike if the National Service Board refuses the appeal. He spoke to Baba Otu.
It's a group of graduates and students who want to help themselves do something. We have decided to take this initiative because we believe that we can't rely on others, like government. So we have to come together collectively and then help ourselves. So we came up with this program called Graduate Fund, where each member, anybody that joins us, is expected to also put in something into the fund, which becomes bulk money for us to fall on, to create jobs for ourselves and also take care of other personal things that we want. So members who are students, when they start their national service, we have agreed that they should do their contribution at the time that they are doing their service, because whilst they are in school, they may not have money to put in. So we put in a request by way of a resolution to the service secretary that this is what a group of people are doing. And for that matter, we need to rely on them to be able to do the deduction for us. So we send a request, of which they rejected it and they gave reasons for rejecting our request, that if they should grant us permission for deductions to be done, it will become additional work for their management. And then secondly, they also believe that it will be much more simpler for our members who are service personnel to take the allowance and pay to the fund directly. They are saying that if they do such a deduction, it will go against their auditing rules. But we find all these reasons as unfair, discriminatory, flimsy, and not in place.
In what way can this fund benefit your members?
Well, as you already know, there's something that we're fighting in Ghana. There's a canker called unemployment, and that has affected almost most of the graduates that come out of school. So this program is to help us raise funds by ourselves, not from any other person. So when we put these funds together, we can be able to create enterprises for ourselves. We can be able to use the money to take care of our personal needs and our welfare as a group.
So what is your organization's appeal seeking for?
We want the board to consider our appeal and then overturn the decision of management of the secretariat and advise them to allow for deductions to be done, because on the whole, this is a program that will go a long way to help a lot of graduates. Now, number two, we are also seeking for the board to advise the service secretariat to grant us permission to carry out a nationwide exercise where we'll be educating any service personnel on graduate fund, and those who wish to be part of us, we register them. And this should be annual staff, not just one day.
What is your organization planning to do if the board refuses to allow for deductions to be made?
Well, we have given the board 2 months within which to reconsider our resolution, and if after 2 months what they've decided on doesn't go our way, we're going to protest by way of a hunger strike against the national service scheme.
The group is also calling for the resignation of the Volta Regional Director and the Akachi District Director of the scheme, Gabriel Nyoke, whom they believe is a mastermind behind the initiative which seeks to champion the cause of unemployed graduates.
The Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Dr. Joe Tienje, says government officials who conspire with individuals and groups to embark on illegal small-scale mining will find themselves wanting when grasped. He challenged the various security agencies to clamp down on all illegal mining operators whose activities are undermining the country's efforts to protect forest and water bodies. Dr. Otienje also advised the municipal and district chief executives, MDCEs, to play a watchdog role in exposing illegal miners at their areas of jurisdiction. The sector minister made this known while addressing participants at the celebration of a World Day to Combat Desertification in Navrongo. Isaac Asari has filed this report.
The World Day to Combat Desertification in the North was organized by the Environmental Protection Agency EPA with support from the Canadian International Development Agency. The Minister of Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, Dr. Tinajay, warned that MDCEs who fail to stop illegal mining operations should consider their positions vacant since government is serious on the matter. He said about 3.4 million people die each year from water-related diseases globally. Such deaths, he lamented, as a result of water pollution, blaming it on illegal mining operations. Dr. Otinaji was emphatic that the World Day to Combat Desertification and Drought, which is on the theme, Don't Let Our Future Dry Up, is a wake-up call for all to support government's quest to protecting the country's land and water resources. He said despite the gradual depletion of vegetation cover, in recent times has become notorious for the pollution of water bodies and called on residents, particularly the youth, to complement the efforts of EPA in reversing the trend. The executive director of EPA, Daniel Amlalo, implored the public to take action to promote preparedness and resilience to water scarcity as well as land and water conservation use.
Upper East Regional Correspondent Isaac Asari filed that report.
President John Dramani Mahama has challenged African governments to build public sector institutions that will serve the purpose of transparency and accountability in governance. This is contained in a message read for him by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Hannah Tete, to mark the start of the AU Africa Public Service Day celebration in Accra. Rebecca Epe reports.
Member countries of the African Union and other partners across the globe represented at the public service gathering will spend the next 7 days deliberating on the African public service in the age of open government. A challenge to public servants who hold a critical stake in the government machinery is how to involve the citizenry in decision-making process. In a message at the opening, President Mahama said, with the rise of democratic movements, African governments are no doubt confronted with this new challenge of governance, as citizens are asking for a greater say in the governance process. He said this partnership is critical, describing it as an engagement that helps deepen democracy and strengthen social capital. President Mahama said he expects of the gathering constructive criticisms and suggestions as a way forward for Africa. Chairperson of the Public Services Commission, Bridget Katriku, asked public servants to maintain professionalism and exploit new technologies to improve performance in service delivery. Mrs. Katriku reminded public servants, unlike politicians, they cannot be voted into power. Public servants with political ambitions are therefore required to relinquish their positions to pursue their desired careers. One of the AU representatives, Dr. Aisha Abdullahi, who is in charge of political affairs of the AU, said as a contribution to the achievement of African Renaissance, the African Charter on the Values and Principles of Public Service and Administration must be upraised. She said it is unfortunate that only 26 AU member states out of 54 have so far signed the charter and only 6 countries have finalized ratification. At the end of the week-long AU Public Service Day celebrations, ministers, government officials, policymakers, and innovators in governance hope to build a shared understanding on innovations that member states can adopt to revitalize their country's public sector.
Rebecca Ipe reporting.
Meanwhile, President John Mahama returned home last night after attending the G8 summit in London. He was met on arrival by Vice President Pakwesiye Misaasa, some ministers of state, Chief of Defence Staff, Vice Admiral Matthew Kwasi, and IGP Mohammed Al Hassan. While in London, President Mahama met with the Ghanaian community after delivering a lecture on Ghana's democratic gains, economic change, and regional influence at the Royal Institute of International Affairs. He also joined British Prime Minister David Cameron, another G8, and selected African leaders at Trooping the Colours event to mark the official birthday of Queen Elizabeth. President Mahama, who was in London at the invitation of Prime Minister Cameron, held bilateral talks with his host, met with the British Foreign Secretary, granted audience to all Africa parliamentary group from the British House of Commons, and participated in the Prime Minister's launch for heads of state attending the G8 summit. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. NHIA commences biometric registration on pilot basis. President Mahama back home after attending G8 summit in London. 68 years old woman Mary Jabia makes history as oldest BCE candidate. And Brazilian protest against cost of stage in 2014 World Cup.
Eastern Regional Program Unit Manager of Plan Ghana, Kofi Adade Debra, has called on government to review the age of consent for sex from 16 years to 18 years. He said this would help prevent the situation of some girls being forced into marriage before the age of 18. Mr. Debra was speaking at the 23rd celebration of the African Union Day of the African Child, organized by Plan Ghana and the National Commission for Civic Education, NCCE, in Kofodia. It was on the theme, Elimination of Harmful Social and Cultural Practices Affecting Children, Our Collective Responsibility. He said that harmful practices such as child labor, defilement and child trafficking are rampant in the region. Mr. Debra called for an end to the branding of children as witches and wizards and sending them to prayer camps for exorcism. He commended government for clamping down on illegal mining. The new job, the municipal director of the NCCE, Peter Lawe, appealed to parents and stakeholders to collaborate in eradicating harmful practices against children.
And now on the educational front, the 2013 Basic Education Certificate Examination has entered day two. Radio Ghana's Yaya Kwamwa, who toured some schools with the Greater Accra Regional Minister Julius Debra yesterday, reports that there was almost 100% turnout at all centres. Mr. Debra expressed satisfaction about the conduct of the students and challenged them not to engage in examination malpractice.
In all, 70,100 candidates made up of 34,323 boys and 35,777 girls are writing the examination. The centers visited are Lekma Southern Cluster of Schools, South La Estate, Sakumono Junior High School, Burma Camp Garrison Junior High School, and the Burma Camp Junior High Technical School. At all the centers visited, attendance were near 100%, except the Lekma Southern Cluster of Schools, where four candidates were absent. All schools visitors started the examination on time, without any hitches. The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Julius Debra, asked the students to comport themselves and abide by the rules and regulations of the examination.
There were not many cases of absentees. We had all together, within our seven maximum out of the other places that the five centers that we've been. So far, I think this is not bad. And also, you can tell from the kids that most of the really studied. They all sound very enthusiastic and were excited about going to life and leisure. Now, we are hoping that at the end of the day, there will be an improvement in the overall results. That's what we're working on. As part of the official responsibility, His Excellency asked me to wish them the best of luck and success in their exams. I hope that none of you is going to embed themselves in any exams malpractices, because you know the implication. If you do, they're going to cancel.
Radio Ghana spoke to some of the candidates.
It's so great. It's cool. English, Japan.
Because easy as you look there, many mock and not in the school. So I think it's cool.
We wrote English, Japan 1, and it wasn't difficult.
It's very easy, but we thank God that He has given us this opportunity.
so we have to sit down and write and concentrate.
The Greater Accra Regional Minister went round with the Regional Director of Education, Elizabeth De Souza, and the officials of the Coordinating Council and the Ghana Education Service.
A report by Yaya Kwamwa. We bring you reports from the regions.
In the Ashanti region, the examination took off on time at all the 309 designated examination centers. 78,348 candidates, made up of 41,015 males and 37,238 females, are writing the week-long examination. The regional director, Nana Safo Kantanka, accompanied by some officials of the Ghana Education Service, toured the centers to familiarize themselves with the conduct of the examination. The team has so far visited 10 centers at the Adansi North District. 2,138 candidates are writing the examinations at 11 centers. The District Director of Education, Asuaye Boa, said his visit to the centers showed that the candidates are well prepared for the examinations. The BEC took off smoothly in the WA municipality of the Upper West Region. 2,408 students, made up of 1,242 males and 1,166 females, are taking part in the examination. Deputy Regional Minister Abuka Sambata, accompanied by the Municipal Director of Education, Suleiman Al-Hassan, visited some of the examination centers to wish the students well. From Ho, our Volta regional correspondent, Kobla Ali Kukubo, reports that the BEC began in the region with no serious challenges reported at most of the examination centers visited, except a few. At the Mauko Senior High School Center, one candidate was reported absent. According to the supervisor at the center, Andrew Stamaklo, the girl is said to be sick. Incidentally, the same girl was reported sick last year. They are therefore suspecting examination phobia. The Deputy Minister of Education, Samuel Okujeto Ablakwa, who was at the center, called on the Ghana Education Service to take up the issue so that she could undergo some professional treatment to enable her to overcome the predicament. At the Manson Senior High School Examination Center at Wamfie in the Doma East District of Bunahafo, a 66-year-old woman, Mary Jabia, made history when she wrote her first paper in the ongoing BEC. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Madame Jabia, a mother of 11, explained that she started school from primary 3 in 2006.
Those were reports from the regions on the BEC.
And now to the foreign front. The UN Shipping Agency says West African heads of states will meet in Cameroon later this month to adopt a code to fight growing piracy in the coastal waters. Piracy is on the increase in the Gulf of Guinea region, which includes Africa's oil producer Nigeria, and is a significant source of commodities including cocoa for world markets. The Secretary General of the UN International Maritime Organization, Kofi Sekimuzu, said heads of states of West African nations will adopt a new code of conduct for anti-piracy activities. The code of conduct will ask governments to arrest and prosecute suspected pirates, seize any vessels believed to have been used in acts of piracy, and increase regional cooperation. The latest reported piracy attack off West Africa took place in May when armed pirates attacked an oil product tanker off the coast of Nigeria and abducted an unknown number of crew.
Meanwhile, reports by the International Maritime Bureau says West Africa witnessed 966 attacks in 2012 compared with 851 such incidents by Somali pirates. Five of the 206 hostages seized last year have been killed.
Tax, trade and transparency are expected to dominate discussions on the second day of the G8 summit. The issues dubbed the three T's were placed at the top of the agenda by the UK for its presidency of the G8. Meetings in Northern Ireland focused on the conflict in Syria. Russian President Vladimir Putin was pressed to agree a joint communique calling for peace talks and better access for aid or face isolation. After talks with his US counterpart Barack Obama, both men acknowledged their differences but said they shared a common desire to stop the bloodshed.
Tens of thousands of people marched through Brazil's largest city, Sao Paulo, to protest over rising public transport prices and the cost of staging the 2014 World Cup. Marches took place in at least 10 cities, including the capital, Brasilia. Protesters also clashed with police near Rio de Janeiro State Assembly. The unrest began last week after the announcement of increased bus fares.
A Greek court has ordered that state broadcaster ERT, which was shut down by the government last week, can resume transmissions. However, the court also upheld a plan by Prime Minister Antonis Samaras to replace ERT with a smaller broadcaster. The ruling came as Mr. Samaras and his coalition partners held crisis talks. The Prime Minister's decision triggered mass protests across the country. The leading party in the governing coalition, the Conservative New Democracy, said that ERT suffered from chronic mismanagement, lack of transparency and waste, thus shutting down the broadcaster with a loss of nearly 2,700 jobs.
And in football, Africa's representatives in the ongoing FIFA Confederation Cup, the Eagles of Nigeria, yesterday got off to a flying start in the competition by thrashing out Oceania champions Tahiti by 6-1. Nnamdi Odumadi, who was the star of the night, scored a hat-trick, while Sporting Braga defender Elderson Echiefili also got 2 goals for the African champions. Nigeria now leads Group B on a goal difference ahead of world champion Spain, who last night posted a 2-1 margin over South American champions Uruguay. The Super Eagles will on Thursday face champions Uruguay, where world champion Spain will also battle it out with Tahiti.
To end the news, the main points again. The National Health Insurance Authority, NHIA, has started a pilot biometric project to register new subscribers onto the scheme. The exercise, which began yesterday, is expected to last for a month and will also cover membership renewals. President John Dramani Mahama returned home last night after attending the G8 summit in London. He was met on arrival by Vice President Pakwesiemi Sir Arthur, some ministers of state, Chief of the Defence Staff Vice Admiral Matthew Kwasi and IGP Mohammed Al Hassan. A 66-year-old woman, Mary Jabia, made history when she wrote her first paper in the ongoing Basic Education Certificate examination at the Manson Senior High School Examination Centre at Wamfie in the Doma East District of the Bunahafu region. And tens of thousands of protesters marched through Brazil's largest city, Sao Paulo, to register their displeasure over the rising public transport prices and the cost of staging the 2014 World Cup. The news was presented by Mercy Soa
and Eugenia Sumedusechi in Accra.